You may have wondered where I got to, or perhaps you didn't notice that I missed a November email. I was just getting ready to work on the email when I got sick. It seems that I got the cold that was going around the area. It set me back for a few weeks, which also set my teaching and client work back, so I decided rather than rush a newsletter out, I would just skip November and go with December. So welcome to Plants Dig Soil, a podcast about realistic regen ag. I'm your host, Scott Gillespie, and I'm an agronomist from the Western Canadian Prairies, specializing in climate-smart agriculture. I discuss scientifically proven practices that benefit the planet, and just as importantly, farmers' economic sustainability. Be sure to visit my website, www.plantsdigsoil.com, for resources and information about the services that I offer. So in this episode, you'll find contents summaries for October. I got what I planned to send out in November sketched out, and I think they'll finish off the year well, so I'm still planning to get them out. After that, I'll take a break through December and into January. In the new year, expect the next newsletter around the end of January. I plan to use the time away to reflect on what I plan for next year, so I'll have a much better idea of how I plan to structure the podcast for season 6. I'll also tease out a little bit. I've been working at getting a book published. Expected timeline is for it to be ready by March for purchase from all of the major booksellers, print or ebook. Now, if you're listening to the podcast or watching this on YouTube, if you want to get my email, you can go to the links that will be below in the description. There's a regular email that comes through MailChimp that you can send to any of your email addresses, or if you're on LinkedIn, you can go there and you can sign up for my newsletter there. There's also a link in the description for that. So just before I get to the content summaries, I just want to remind you of my consulting packages. The pricing that I have reflects the independent structure of my business. You pay for the advice and that's it. I don't sell any products. I'll recommend them where I see fit, but I make no money from your use of anything that I recommend. So we can work remotely or in person, or a combination of the two. You're not tied to long-term commitments. I give you everything and you're free to implement on your own or with another company. And of course, I always love to work with people over the long term. So now let's get to the content summaries. So you can either read them on my website, you can listen to them in your podcast app, or you can watch them on YouTube. But just to give you a quick summary of what I talked about, I'm going to go through them here in this podcast. So I talked about 6 different articles in my Regenerative Agriculture News, which was titled N2O Emissions, Disease Control with Compost, and Using Tillage Responsibly. So the quick summary, new research shows that cover crops may not be a net benefit to the nitrogen loss equation. While they can prevent leaching, they may contribute more to nitrous oxide emissions. And those are the very potent greenhouse gases. On the topic of nitrous oxide emissions, work in the prairies is continuing to show that inhibitors work to reduce emissions. However, the yield impacts for producers are not worth the cost of using them. On the disease front, promising work shows how a specific combination of crop input of compost inputs may tackle one of our toughest potato diseases. So this dovetails well into another story I have about biodiversity. And that story is that it's not about putting everything into the system and looking for resilience. It's more about finding the right combinations that lead to the desired outcomes. And this fits well into the next article. This principle has been used by a farmer in Ontario who's gone back to tillage. As I've talked about before, it's not about no-till or reducing tillage, it's about using it properly. And finally, I'll point to an article that discusses future forecasting and the problem of assumptions. So my next podcast episode was called Plants Don't Read Our Manuals. This was inspired from Rick from the Garden Fork podcast, who frequently remarks, "Bees don't read our manuals," when he's discussing beekeeping. And I found this equally true for plants. So in this episode, I shared a year-end review of what I've learned over the summer in the fields and in my garden. So without a doubt, this year has been dry, marking a few years into a drought cycle. Now, observing changes on a landscape scale, it's become apparent that the behaviors of fields are shifting. This could be attributed to a deeper underlying issues or changes in our environment. And I think this is related to the water cycle. So back in 2010 and 2011, we witnessed unusually high rainfall, which replenished deeper groundwater reserves. However, the recent drought years have depleted these lower groundwater levels. This observation led me to reconsider the adaptability of farm machinery, particularly the use of stripper headers for water use efficiency and microclimate management. As water restrictions loom, it's imperative to rethink our irrigation strategies. We might need to adapt our approach when the rains return, which would possibly include strip till or a tillage pass. And this is kind of where the plants don't read our manuals comes in. Despite the drought, this year's potato crop exceeded expectations, thanks to optimal weather conditions and efficient water management. However, the challenges of pest control, particularly for organic growers, still is significant. And in my garden, the shift back to drip irrigation has proven successful. As the year winds down, my focus shifts to teaching and personal development, including updating my cover crops course and diving into a winter reading list. And finally, I talked about a book called Buffalo Bird Woman's Garden. So I dive deep into the life of the agriculture practices of Buffalo Bird Woman, one of the last indigenous farmers in North Dakota. Her story, preserved by the anthropologist Gilbert L. Wilson, provides an account of sustainable farming techniques that were in use long before European settlement. What stood out to me was a striking similarity between her methods and those of European farmers, from preparing the land a year in advance to her detailed crop planning strategies and her commitment towards seed saving. She practiced sustainable agriculture in the way that still holds lessons for us today. If you're interested in learning more about Buffalo Bird Woman and her agricultural practices, I recommend the book about her life, and there'll be a link in the description of that episode where you'll have to go to my website or YouTube or podcast to find that. So just to finish off, I will remind you of the SCAP funding. This is a large funding opportunity from the Government of Canada along with the provinces, and there are all kinds of things covered in it. So if you're not sure, just get a hold of me and I can help you with it. Or if you have a crazy idea or something you're thinking of, it might be covered because they are trying to fund innovation, especially in the regenerative agriculture side of things. So I'm going to read my list here. I know it's a little bit boring if you've heard it before, but maybe this is your first time, so maybe you might catch something. So there's new technology, farm security, grain handling equipment, buying new or upgrading center pivots, very important for our irrigation farmers now, installing drip irrigation, digging a well, developing water supplies for crops or for livestock, and decommissioning old wells, developing a food safety plan or upgrading existing ones, developing new products or markets, fencing in riparian areas or adding fencing, perimeter or internal, increasing legumes or establishing native or tame forages, adding in shelter belts, eco buffers, and pollinator strips. And this is an interesting one, intercropping annuals for grain harvest. So there is help to try that practice, along with cocktail cover crops for green manure or forage, and establishing or enhancing wetlands. So there'll be a link in the description for this program. And the important thing is that my fees can usually be covered in the funding because I do have the professional agrologist designation. And finally, I do have my course, Profitable from the Start, Cover Crops for the Prairies. And I recognize that right now, there's not a lot of reason to do cover crops, dry land or irrigated, because of the coming water restrictions or expected water restrictions. However, you could still spend your winter learning about them. So I've put together this course. You'll have a cover crops first plan, which is fit, implementation, return on investment, species, and termination. And I always figure it's a good idea to learn things before you actually need to do it. So rather than scrambling midsummer when all of a sudden you do have the conditions where cover crops might work, learn it now and come up with your plan, and then you'll be ready. So with that, I will end this episode. I will talk to you again over the next few weeks as I put together my final episodes of the season. And I will send out another newsletter later in January, sometime in the new year. Talk to you then. Bye.